This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Inshallah, we'll be reading from verse number 101 of Surah As-Saffat, page number 443 of the Sahih International Translation that we're using.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فبشرناه بغلام حليم فلما بلغ معه السعي قال يا بني إني أرى في المنام أني أذبحك فانظر ماذا ترى قال يا أبت افعل ما تؤمر ستجدني إن شاء الله من الصابرين فلما أسلما وتله للجبين وناديناه أن يا إبراهيم صدقت الرؤيا إنا كذلك نجزي المحسنين إن هذا لهو البلاء المبين وفديناه بذبح عظيم وتركنا عليه في الآخرين سلام على إبراهيم كذلك نجزي المحسنين إنه من عبادنا المؤمنين وبشرناه بإسحاق نبيا من الصالحين وباركنا عليه وعلى إسحاق ومن ذريتهما محسن وظالم لنفسه مبين ولقد مننا على موسى وهارون ونجيناهما وقومهما من الكرب العظيم ونصرناهم فكانوا هم الغالبين وآتيناهما الكتاب المستبين وهديناهما الصراط المستقيم وتركنا عليهما في الآخرين سلام على موسى وهارون إنا كذلك نجزي المحسنين إنهما من عبادنا المؤمنين
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على عبد الله ورسوله محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My mothers and sisters, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for bringing us together once again. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept this gathering of ours wherein we are learning His word and wherein we are going through what He has revealed for us in order to derive lesson from, to take cue from, and in order to understand His commands and His prohibitions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us. Last week we were going through the story of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. And we made mention of how Ismail alayhi salam was granted to him after a dua that he had made and constantly made, where he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a blessed offspring. Not just for an offspring, but a blessed offspring. And I remember clearly making mention that those who call towards Allah, when they call unto Allah, they are responded to in a much more swift manner than those who are not really bothered about calling towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you want your du'as to be accepted more readily, you need to understand, to learn, to put into practice and convey the message of the deen. My mothers and sisters, the reason we say this, there are several evidences to prove this, but a simple one is where the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has instructed us, telling us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that whoever comes close to me a handspan, I will come close to him a foot. And whoever comes close to me walking, I will come close to him rushing. which means I'm always faster. So when we are making an effort to obey the instructions of Allah, to spread the goodness, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would come towards us in an even quicker way. And another evidence is in the Quran where Allah says, إِن تَنصُرُ اللَّهَ يَنصُرْكُمْ. O you who believe, if you are going to fulfill the commands of Allah and the instructions, then Allah will assist you, He will help you, and He will come towards your help. So part and parcel of fulfilling the instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to call towards the goodness, to call others towards the goodness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us. Sometimes we are shy, sadly, very, very sadly, shy to call people towards the deen. My mothers and sisters, the quickest and easiest way is just to appear as a good Muslim or good Muslimah, and to have a decent name which people can identify that this person is a Muslim or Muslimah. And then when our character is exemplary and so on, when we pray on time and whatever we do, we are being watched, and that is automatic da'wah. That is the simplest, easiest way of da'wah, and it is a way that is quite effective because it is without actually speaking to people initially. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a beginning inshallah in this regard. So here Allah says, so we gave him good tidings of a forbearing boy, Halim, one who is very patient, he can take a lot. And that was Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. And Allah says, and when he reached with him the age of exertion, when he was at a certain age, the ability to work and to be of assistance, you know, as a child grows, initially you are helping the child, and there comes a stage where the child begins to help you. At the beginning they create work for you, and thereafter you hand them some of your own work and they begin to help you. So when he got to that age, then he said, oh my son, I have seen a dream. I have seen a dream. Now, before we mention the dream, the dreams of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they consist of revelation. They are from Allah, instructions, or whatever Allah has dictated upon them, they may see it in the form of a dream. So those dreams are to be fulfilled. It's not for me or you to believe that whatever we have seen in our own dreams happen to be on that level. No. A lot of the times with us, it's just a sixth sense, or it's something we were thinking about. You know, the other day, one of the brothers told me, you know, we killed a snake at the house, and I happened to dream of 2-3 snakes. And I told him, in fact, firstly, he told me I dreamt about snakes. And when I asked him, have you seen a snake lately? And he said, yes, the same day I killed one. I said, well, there you are. It's got nothing to do with any enemies of yours. It's just got to do with the fact that you saw something wriggling along and, you know, walking, or should I say, making its way through in a very zigzag way through your lawn or whatever it was. And that's just something that stuck to the back of your head and you saw it. So if you've seen a few, for example, very suspicious looking individuals on your street, and you really looked at them and they made you in a little bit of a frenzy for a little bit of a while, and then you dreamt of robbers. It had nothing to do with robbers actually robbing you. We are taught that you, you know, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, seek Allah's protection from the devil. Perhaps you spit on the left side a bit, turn a little bit on the other side, and go to sleep. Perhaps even give out a little charity the following day and so on. These are part of the teachings of Islam. But what we need to realize is, don't take it too seriously. Some people get obsessed with their dreams, so obsessed that they are depressed. Everything that happens, they want to know, what does it mean? What does it mean? It does not mean much. Come on. You know, it means fulfill your salah, get closer to Allah, become a better person. That's what the dreams are supposed to be meaning. Or be warned of sin that you might be committing and so on. These are the dreams. Yes, if it is recurrent and it constantly recurs and it is at certain times, say for example, just before the time that Fajr knocks in, then perhaps you might want its interpretation. But don't get too excited about dreams. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness. Yes, I'm not saying discount them all totally, but if you have this odd dream here and there, believe me, half the time we are taught not even to narrate them or relate them to others unnecessarily. Some people every morning, right, let's have a group meeting, breakfast. What did you dream about? So little children begin to create stories. Dad, I dreamt that you actually bought me such a nice gift, you know. And I dreamt that I was so happy with you. I hugged you and I did this and did that. And he's busy thinking that dad is going to say, well, let me buy it for you this weekend. But you know what dad says? Keep on dreaming, son. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us and grant us ease. So my sisters, this dream we're about to make mention of, or that Allah makes mention of, is wahi. It's revelation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and when he reached with him that age, the age of exertion where he's able to help and assist and be of assistance, he said to him, O my son, indeed I have seen a dream that I must sacrifice you. So what do you think? See, what do you think? فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. So ponder over it. What do you think? Now, this is quite a serious dream, because one is it's wahi, and two is they've had this child after so long. Imagine, so long, very, very long. One narration says that Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam was approximately 80 years old when he had the child. Imagine 80. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us offspring, and may He make those offspring the coolness of our eyes. So how difficult it is when you do not have offspring, number one. And it is even more difficult when you've had them after so long and suddenly you lose them. Allahu Akbar. So sometimes Allah knows you won't be able to handle the latter, so He does not grant you the former to protect you from the latter. Allahu Akbar. Here Allah gave him both, where in the one hand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him the child after so long, and the other hand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is instructing him sacrifice. This goes to show us that, do you know, your children and your wealth actually belong to Allah. He can give them to you as an amana. Some people, Allah does not give them wealth. They remain beggars forever. Some people, Allah does not give them children. He wants them to realize that, do you know what? It's mine. It's my ownership. I know what's better for you. If it's better for you to sit like this, alhamdulillah, this is what it is. We know it's the best thing for you. So this is Allah testing us to surrender to His instruction. Some people don't have health. And Allah says, well, we know it's better for you. We've spoken about this in the past, my mothers and sisters. When Allah has given us a perfect life, there is a greater chance of us turning away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the minute He gives us a problem, an issue, things do not go the way we want them. That shows that He loves us, because now we begin to turn to Him. We are closer to Him. We cry to Him. We make the hajjud to Him. We read more Quran. We are worried more about our sins. Why? Because we want something from Him. So Allah says, you know what? I love you so much in this condition that I'm going to leave you like this until the day you meet me. And we're busy upset. And we say, but why did Allah do this to me? So Allah says, don't. Here is the story of Ibrahim. Learn from it. We gave him something that he desperately wanted, and then we told him, right, give it back to us. Allahu Akbar. Imagine, volunteer to give it back to us. This was solely in order to test Ibrahim alayhi salam. One of the tests was that Allah comes first. Then your family members. Allah comes first. Your maker comes first. You cannot do something to please your family when it is in the displeasure of Allah. Allah's pleasure comes first. And if your family is pleased with something that Allah is displeased with, you won't do it. And if your family is displeased with an instruction of Allah, then Allah's instruction comes first. These are the tests. And Ibrahim alayhi salam passed them all, every single one of them, 100%, 10 out of 10. Subhanallah. So Allah says, so he told his son, what do you think? Now his son was granted such a beautiful upbringing that the son says, oh my father, do as you are commanded. That's Allah. How can I have a say when it comes to your maker and mine? Do as you are commanded. Satajiduni insha'allahu minas sabirin. Insha'Allah, you will find me to be from amongst those who have sabr. What type of sabr? This is a big test. You know, I was reading some of the books of Seerah, in fact, Tariq. And so many of the sacrifices of the Anbiya made mention of, great sacrifices of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the books of Seerah, and so many other sacrifices of the previous prophets and so on. But one of the points that a lot of people tend to forget is that Ismail, as young as he was alayhi salam, he already sacrificed in a way that he acknowledged that if this is the instruction of Allah, okay, I'll lose my life, but Allah will be happy. Now, today nobody is telling us to do that. You know, like I said, if you see a dream that you were sacrificing your child, please, please be careful, you know. Don't go and fulfill that. We've said it so many times that you are not a Nabi. You know, it's like someone was asking me, you know, my father told me to divorce this wife of mine. That's why I divorced her. So I said, you know, your father made a mistake. How can you say that? Didn't you read about Ibrahim alayhi salam? I said, look, if your father's a Nabi and you were the child of a Nabi, it's a different story. But your father doesn't read Salah. And here he's telling you to do things and you actually went to fulfill what he told you. So let's not be mistaken. You know, people use the excuse that Jannah is under the feet of my mother. I have to follow. It is only under the feet of those mothers who are going to Jannah anyway. Remember that. In the sense that in their service. You know, there are a few narrations. Some of them are not as powerful as others. But bottom line, you have to serve your mother without a joke. And being more serious, that's how you'll get Jannah. One of the ways of earning paradise. So if a mother is instructing you to do something wrong and says, I'm your mother, paradise at my feet. Look at her feet and say, I only see dust here. Why? Because she's telling you to do something wrong. That's the reason. So like we say, paradise is there only for those whom themselves are going into paradise. Someone is heading towards hell. We will serve her. We will obviously remind her. We will be kind to her. But you don't follow the wrong instructions. This is what we are trying to raise. And this is the point being made. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam's son, Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, take a look at him. Steadfast. He says, you will find me from amongst those who will be steadfast. Sabirin. فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا Allah says, and when they both submitted, not just one, both. Now Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, let's go back to the dua he made. He says, oh Allah, grant me offspring that will be obedient to you. Oh Allah, grant me offspring that will be pious. If you recall last week, we actually said that the dua he made was not just for offspring, but the type of offspring also, he made mention of it in the dua already in advance. You know, when we don't have kids, for example, Allah grant us children who will be the coolness of our eyes. But we make a dua. Ya Allah, grant me children. Ya Allah, grant me a son. Grant me a daughter. Sometimes we forget to actually say what type of a daughter, what type of a son. We forget. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, we learnt. He says, grant me a pious child. So that means if Allah knows the child is going to be a means of your depression, He won't give it to you from the very beginning because He knows the future. يَعْلَمُ مَا كَانَ وَمَا يَكُونُ وَمَا لَمْ يَكُنْ إِذَا كَانَ كَيْفَ يَكُونَ You know, Allah knows the past, the present, the future, what is going to come, what is not going to come, had it come, how it would have come. All this is part of the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, He does not grant certain people certain things. But here Allah says, in order for Ibrahim alayhi salam to realize the gift that we have bestowed upon him of a child who was so obedient, we made them both submit. Imagine if only he submitted and his son, like today, if a general dad of this 21st century had to tell the child, look, I saw a dream that I was giving you a smack. He says, Dad, I'll give you back two smacks. This is only a smack you're talking about. Or the child might come up and say, Dad, keep on dreaming. Allahu Akbar. May Allah protect us. But this was a sacrifice and the son is saying, you will find me to be steadfast, do as you've been told. So this already goes to confirm that both of them were now submitters unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says, when they had both submitted and he put him down upon his forehead. And there is a whole story of how as they were going, the devil came and he tried to distract them and so on, and how he did not want the son to have to look at that, the utensil he was using, and at the same time he did not want his eyes to meet his son's eyes lest he saw and felt a little bit of mercy, and so many things that had happened mentioned in some of the narrations. But we're not going to go into that detail. We're going through this, the meaning of these verses. Allah says, when he was now completely submitted, the moment that he was engaging in what Allah had instructed him, we called to him, O Abraham, O Ibrahim, وَنَادَيْنَاهُ أَيَّا إِبْرَاهِيمُ قَدْ صَدَّقْتَ الرُّؤِيَا We called out to him, O Ibrahim, you have indeed fulfilled the vision. You have fulfilled it. You passed your test, basically. Indeed, thus do we reward the doers of good. What was the goodness he was doing? He was just fulfilling the instruction of Allah. I want to stop there for a minute. We're going to see in the next few verses even more of how Allah praises Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And Allah says, in his progeny we kept goodness, meaning the goodness, the nubuwa that came was in the progeny of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. But take a look at the sacrifice he made. Allah says, thus do we reward the doers of good. Question I have for myself and yourselves: has Allah ever instructed us to do something as difficult as this? No. Simple dress code issue, simple salah issue, simple stopping from backbiting. Put a knife to your backbiting. Put a knife to the beat and the music. Put a knife to the bad habits. Put a knife to all those evil things. That's all Allah is saying. He's not saying put a knife to the one you love most. No. It's simple instructions, but we also need to drive that knife over our bad habits. Person who's drunkard, slaughter it, sacrifice it. Person who's on drugs, cut it. This is the test. And if you do it for the sake of Allah and you submit, Allah says, we will grant you a good reward. Definitely. Imagine the bad habits that are haram. When a person leaves them for the sake of Allah, cuts them, completely gone. You know, some people, they cannot even be good to their spouses. They don't even have time for their family members. They will rather sit outside the home. When they come home, they don't talk to anyone. No speech. But as soon as they leave the house, they're talking to everyone. Wow, like they've met all their buddies. Yet the buddies are supposed to be at home. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. So we need to force ourselves to be kind to our good, you know, to understand that charity begins at home. We need to force ourselves to realize the instruction of Allah upon us, the duties of Allah. So the question I was raising for myself and yourselves is, Allah has instructed us with things that are far lighter than this, but we still find ourselves not fulfilling Allah's instruction. And then we want goodness. This was such a difficult test. And they engaged in the obedience of Allah. And when they submitted, Allah says, here's all the goodness. This is how we're going to reward you. So the moral of the story is, you want goodness from Allah? Yes, He gives you through His mercy, even if you are sinning sometimes. Like, you know, we have a lot of goodness, mashallah, and sometimes we don't even deserve it. But if you would like specialized goodness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you need to be seen to be sacrificing for the sake of Allah something that might be wrong, evil, Allah has prohibited, but for the sake of Allah. Make time for it. Your salah, enjoy it. Get up early. See how you feel. Allah promises you. Life is too short. Very, very short. One of the scholars was making mention of an incident where a person had, an Egyptian, one of the Egyptian scholars was making mention of a story where someone saw him at Hajj. And they told him, you know, I'm so happy to see you at Hajj because it's so difficult to meet you and so on. And I'm so happy and I want to be with you and I want to, please can. And then they were together for a short while and he says, can you come with me to the Hatim? And I would like to make 2 rakats of Salah there. I want to offer 2 units of Salah. Now that Hatim, that Hijr Ismail it's called, it's considered as inside the Kaaba, although it is the rounded section that's not actually built up. And they went in, even though it was choking at the time of Hajj, and this man says, this youngster was actually crying, and he made so much tawbah, ask Allah to forgive me and so on. And he went into salah in that Hatim, and when he went into sajda, he took so long. He says, when I tried to see what was happening to him, he had passed away. Wallahi, this is a story that is true. I've heard it from this sheikh's mouth himself. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness and bless us. Imagine that tawbah and the fact that he decided to slice out all his bad habits and he decided he's turning to Allah. Allah says, hang on, we've got something waiting for you. We want you to die in the Kaaba, in the position of sajda, and we want you to come to us. Now, during these days of Hajj, what better death could one have had? Allahu Akbar. May Allah grant us all a good death. May He never disgrace us, neither in the dunya nor in the akhirah. May He forgive our sins and make us steadfast. May we be from those who learn a lesson from the steadfastness of Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam. We are excited to name our children Ibrahim and Ismail, but we don't even realize the sacrifice behind that name. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen us. So Allah says, we called out to Him. We did not want to inflict harm upon Him, not at all. We were just testing Him and we knew. And we wanted that test to remain forever and ever as a means of people learning a lesson. All of us, we learned a lesson. Emulating, following, so that the reward can continue going to Ibrahim years and decades and centuries later, up to the end of time. So right up to this day, we all engage in the Eid al-Adha. We all have the sacrificial animal and we all literally celebrate on that day. That is the Islamic celebration. We have 2 celebrations in Islam, and those are the 2 Eids. That's it. So those are the celebrations, and Allah says, there it is. All the prophets after Him have emulated, they have followed, they have understood, they knew, they were told what happened. They related it to their people and so on, and the people have to celebrate on that day. But that celebration, do you know what's the sad reality? Mothers and sisters, the bulk of us are guilty. The day of Eid, when the day that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam's life is being commemorated, his sacrifice is being commemorated, we will slaughter the animal, but we will be dressed, I don't even want to say worse than what. We will be dressed to please the devil
And nowadays, even the devil is ashamed of the type of dressing we have. It's a fact. And on that day, that is the day of what? Eid. What are we celebrating? This verse of the Quran. Here it is. Celebrating this verse. That's why I say, my mothers and sisters, the day of Eid, ensure that yourselves and your children and those whom you are the guardian of have beautiful dress code. That which is cut to please Allah. Just remember that. Cover yourself properly for the sake of Allah. It's the day of ibadah. It's the day of determining so many things. It's the day of checking at what are you prepared to sacrifice for the sake of Allah. And you know what we do? We snub Allah, a'udhu billah, without even realizing that this is the day that people were ready to give their children's lives and their own lives. We cannot even cover the beautiful bodies that Allah has given us. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. May Allah make us from those who can learn a lesson from the story of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Whenever we get to Eid al-Adha, please think of this. Please think of what it is that you're doing. What is it that you are commemorating? And what are you supposed to be earning from it? It's not the day of happiness in Islam. It's not a day where you can just engage in sin. Like they say, discount, you know. Allahu Akbar. There are so many things that go on the day of Eid that sometimes we're ashamed to make mention of them. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you have fulfilled the vision. Indeed, thus do we reward the doers of good. Indeed, this was the clear trial. Allah says, inna hadha lahu al-bala'ul mubin. This was a clear-cut trial and a test from us. Allah did not test anyone before or after Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam in exactly the same way. Nobody. No one ever before or after was told to do this particular thing of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam in this way. And Allah says, and we ransomed him with a great sacrifice. وَفَدَيْنَاهُ بِذِبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ. We replaced him with a ram from Jannah. We replaced him. Subhanallah. And we left for him favorable mention amongst later generations. وَتَرَكْنَا عَلَيْهِ فِي الْآخِرِينَ. Up to today, we have mention of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam in salah. We have to mention his name in salah up to today. And Allah has kept such a powerful, good memory of Ibrahim. All these Semitic religions, the Jews, the Christians, the Muslims, they all mention the Prophet Abraham with utmost respect, or according to them, the level of respect. Although we as Muslimin offer him the correct respect. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding of the statuses of these great prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abraham, the Prophet. Sallallahu ala nabina Muhammad wa ala Ibrahima innaka hamidun majid. Allahu Akbar. My mothers and sisters, it brings tears to the eyes when we sit and think of the sacrifice of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And Allah says, we left for him a favorable mention among later generations. So now, what we learn, would you like favorable mention amongst later generations? Well, if that's the case, sacrifice for the sake of Allah. And Allah will ensure that the good will always mention you with goodness. Always. Imagine when a person dies and they say, oh, that guy was a crook, man. Person was a robber. This person was that. That was a home wrecker. And this was a this and a that. We wouldn't like that. When they say our name, they say, Rahmatullahi alayhi. May Allah have mercy on him, at least, or on her. May Allah have mercy on all of us, alive and dead. Ameen. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, peace upon Ibrahim. Salamun ala Ibrahim. Peace upon him. I want to pause for a moment again and remind myself and yourselves, my mothers and sisters, look at the power of the Quran, where Allah is giving us an example of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam in such a beautiful way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us that when you do things for the sake of Allah, we take care of the rest. Sometimes, you know, we have to send our child to madrasa. Sometimes we have to send him a little bit further away from home in order to learn the deen and so on. Who would like to leave their children? But Allah says, sacrifice a bit, we take care of the rest. Make sure you've actually checked out where you're sending your child and what's happening. Inshallah, if it is proper and legit, by the will of Allah, Allah will take care of the rest. Don't worry. Like I tell you, one other very important aspect. Sometimes people think, you know, my child is going to learn the deen. How is he going to earn? How is he going to live? When is he going to buy a house? When is he going to buy a car? When When is he going to have this beautiful life? What salary is he going to get? You know, these scholars are not paid. The truth is, Allah takes care of everything. He is the owner. How much money do you want? We know of people who have top qualifications in the world. The majority of the unemployed do not have religious degrees. They've got worldly degrees. Have you thought of that? One might argue, well, they're greater in number. Well, they're greater in number, and they're also greater in the number of unemployed. Allahu Akbar. Another thing is, if you are earning, for example, $3,000 and someone else is earning $300, you might have a different quality of life. But the measurement is contentment, not amount. Remember that. The measurement is always to do with the quality of the heart, not the quantity of the materialism. Remember that. What is the quality of your heart? We know of people who live in shacks who are so happy. Every time you see them, they're smiling, they're polite, they can greet you as though they're living in a palace. But if you were to go to their houses, you'd think that isn't this person embarrassed of how they're living? But that's because the quality within your heart is based on something else. And it's actually quite low. Your happiness sometimes might be based on the quantity of materialistic items you have, whereas that is short-lived. Even if you're earning a salary of $240,000 a month, as we've just heard lately, to be honest with you, that doesn't make you happy. What's going to happen? It doesn't mean that you're going to live forever, nor does it mean you're going to take all that into heaven, nor does it mean you're going to have another everlasting bliss after you've closed your eyes. It doesn't mean that, but it's the quality of the heart. What do you do with that amount? Do you give it out in charity? Do you help as many people as possible? Has it humbled you? Has it brought you down? So alhamdulillah, we are taught to ask for hasana in the dunya and hasana of the akhirah. Ask for goodness, O Allah, grant us sustenance. Yes, we'll try. We work hard and so on. I know of a certain person who had top results at a university in a certain field. And later on, he shifted to this country and became a businessman during the days of wheeling and dealing. And today, mashallah, he's doing very well. And what happened to his field? He threw it under the carpet. Why? He says, it won't get me more than a few grand a month. I can earn a few grand a day. That's what it is. Now what? And then a lot of times we know of people who get to the age of 40, 50, then they say, hey, let me start learning the deen. I should have done this and I should have done that. And then they come and they say, I want my children to learn the deen. Why? Because now you've realized what life is all about. But now your child wants to say, but dad, you know what? I need to be a doctor, man. I need to be a thing. MashaAllah, we definitely need doctors. But we need Muslim doctors. Someone who knows the deen as well. Someone who sacrificed a little bit for the deen. Something. Even during their early years, you find people sacrifice for the deen. The earlier you sacrifice for the deen, the more long-term the goodness is. You find there's a lot of people, you can tell straight, this is a brother, he's a professional, but he's a Muslim professional, which means he takes his deen seriously. MashaAllah. Alhamdulillah. Then we are happy of this. And we ask Allah to bless us and to bless our offspring. But here's Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam sacrifice with his son. Allah says, this was the great test. Peace be upon Ibrahim. Indeed, we thus reward the doers of good. Indeed, he was of our believing servants. Now, twice Allah has said that thus we reward the doers of good. Twice. In this story, two times. There are two people involved, and Allah has said it twice because the sacrifice was so great. And Allah says, indeed, he was one of our believing servants. He believed. And we gave him good tidings of Isaac, or Ishaq, may peace be upon him, a prophet from amongst the righteous. Imagine Allah is making mention. This verifies that the firstborn son and the one that was to be sacrificed was Ishmael. Ismail and not Ishaq, as claimed by some of the others. And there are so many other factors, that's not our topic today, but we believe it was Ismail and it was not Ishaq. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we gave him good tidings of Ishaq, a prophet from amongst the righteous. And we blessed him and we blessed Ishaq. But among their descendants is the doer of good and the clearly unjust to himself. Which means the descendants of Ishaq alayhi salatu wasalam, the descendants of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, obviously there were two types of people. Some of them were really good. They were the Anbiya and the prophets, and they were the pious and the righteous and those who were believers, and some of them were sinful. So Allah says there's both types of people. Even the prophets, a lot of their times you will find in every Nabi's life, there is someone from amongst their family, either immediate or extended, who was quite sinful and totally and openly astray and negating what was said by the messenger himself. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon them and all of us. Ameen. So Allah says there were two types of people. وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِهِمَا مُحْسِنٌ. There was a muhsin, there were those who do good. وَظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ مُبِينٌ. Those who clearly oppress themselves. They sinned openly. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ مَنَنَّا عَلَى مُوسَى وَهَارُونَ. And indeed, we have conferred favor upon Moses and Aaron. Musa and Harun. عَلَيْهِمَا السَّلَامُ. May Allah's peace be upon both of them. Allah says we favored them. We favored them in a big way. If you take a look at Allah saying we favored them, yet at the beginning of their lives for so many years, they suffered and struggled. Imagine, Musa alayhi salam, for how many years did he suffer? Many, many years. In fact, so many of his people were butchered. They were lucky to be alive, to be honest. So Allah says we favored them. So my mothers and sisters, Allah's favor will come upon us. For as long as we continue, we persevere upon goodness. It all depends on the ending, the ending. You know, when a person is wealthy in their lives, very, very rich, stinking rich. And I'm using the example because materialism at the moment is what drives people in a lot of cases. So a person very, very wealthy, and then suddenly they clock the age of 55. And then they lose everything and they become beggars on the street. What will people remember the person as? Oh, this guy who lost everything. That's what they would say. Why? Because the ending is what counts. Whereas if you have a man who was a beggar for 50 years, and after that he became a tycoon, what would happen? People would say, hey, this is the guy who Allah really gave it to him. Man, Allah blessed him with so much. And you know what? When he passed away, he had X, Y, and Z. Why? Because it's got to do with what you die upon. That's the favor of Allah. So relax, we're still alive and we're still asking Allah's favor. And Allah's favor for us is not necessarily materialistic items. Al-malu wal-banuna zinatul hayati dunya. When it comes to materialistic items, they consist of two things, two main things. One is wealth and the other is offspring. These are materialistic items that Allah gives whomsoever He wishes, and He doesn't give whomsoever He wishes. So these are materialistic items we may get, we may not get. But when it comes to spirituality, and the closeness to Allah and the deen, and abstaining from that which would displease Allah, such as polytheism of any sort. And there are so many different types of polytheism, we need to study it deeply, and we have in the past, and we've gone through it time and again. And doing deeds which will displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, for example, which we claim we know better than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sometimes, and we just start doing things, you know, like people standing on one leg and thinking that that's a great act of worship. Allahu Akbar. And telling others, you've got to stand on one leg if you want to please Allah. Astaghfirullah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us. Make us from those who recognize such deviation. So my mothers and sisters, Allah says, we favored Musa and Harun, may peace be upon them. And we saved them from their people from the great affliction. What was that? The affliction of Fir'aun. But how many died in that affliction? A lot. How many were persecuted? Plenty. But it was the ending. The ending was that Fir'aun was crushed. The Pharaoh was crushed. That's the ending. So like I said, the mark is given upon the final examination. There you are. Your certificate came out based on the last exam you wrote. There you are. If you had failed the monthly exams and whatever else, and when you come out O-level, for example, matric, whatever else you want to call it, and you have 10 A-stars, will anyone tell you, but at the marks you got D's, man. Is that what they're going to say? Nobody will talk about the marks. You're suddenly the hero. Why? Between the marks and now you worked hard. Or maybe you were mocking at the time of the marks. Allahu Akbar. The reality is, mashallah, you passed well. So this shows us that don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah. If you have not done well up to today, change your style, change your habits. Start sacrificing for Allah. You do well. You pass with 10 A stars. And then what happens? Mashallah. Successful. So Allah says, we saved them and their people from the great affliction. But Allah did not make mention here in these verses as to how much they suffered before that, because that was irrelevant. It was part and parcel of getting to this victory, is to go through some of this turbulence. To get to goodness, you have to go through obstacles. To get to Jannah, you have to sacrifice. You have to walk through that which might sometimes have thorns in it. A thorn bush. You protect yourself, you get pricked a little bit here and there, and you start remedying it, and you carry on this way and that way, and you try to save yourself from things until you get to paradise. It's like walking on a tightrope. It's not easy, but when you get to the other side, you even forget what it felt like. And then when you see other people walking on it, and you think, well, I did it, it was so easy. Try it again. Allahu Akbar. You say, no, I already did it once. It's over. So Allah says, and we supported them, we helped them, we assisted them. So it was they who overcame. They were the winners, they were the victorious. Subhanallah. This is the gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We helped them, we assisted them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we gave them the explicit scripture, the Torah. We blessed Musa alayhi salatu wasalam with the Torah, and it was for him and his people, subhanallah. And we guided them onto the straight path. And we left for them a favorable mention amongst later generations. Beautiful, favorable mention. Like I told you what it means. After you've gone, people talk good about you. Not bad, not evil. People mention you with goodness. Whenever they say your name, they say a good word after it. Imagine when you pass away, and every time they say your name, they say, Rahmatullahi alayhi. May Allah's mercy be upon that person. Wow, what a good, favorable mention. But if someone passes away, and imagine people make mention of them, and whenever the name is mentioned, they say, I hope that person's burning in hell. Whoa, may Allah protect us. We don't want that to happen to us. So Allah says, and we left for them favorable mention amongst later generations. Peace upon Moses and Aaron. Peace upon Musa and Harun. May peace be upon them. Alayhima as-salatu was-salam. Indeed, we thus reward the doers of good. Indeed, they were our believing servants. Pause there for a moment again. Look what Allah says. Two things. Verse number 121 and 122. Allah says, indeed we thus reward the doers of good. Indeed they were our believing servants. They believed, they persevered, they remained, they were tested. The testing did not make them weak in their faith. They did not doubt Allah for a split moment. Never. No matter what tests they went through, one after the other, there was so much turbulence, so much calamity and disaster that had come in their direction from the devils, but Allah had granted them calmness and coolness in their hearts. For as long as you know you are close to Allah, Allah is close to you. No matter whether you have the worldly material items or you are struggling on the globe, you're always a content person, always a happy person. Why? Because you realize this is very temporary, very temporary. You know, time is flying. Time is flying. That is a sign of Qiyamah. But in a way, it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminding us how insignificant this life is. Very small. Yet, we are in a rat race, to be honest. Rat race. All running. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. Without understanding, nobody is saying divorce yourself from this world totally. No, you have to live in it. And there's nothing wrong in living a comfortable life, but not at the expense of your life after death. Whatever you do for luxury and comfort in this world, try to do double that for the life after death. I don't think you'll manage. But by the help of Allah, He will give the life after death to us in terms of goodness, even by doing half of what we've done in the dunya. For example, you spent, say, I'm just giving you a thumbsuck, you bought a house for 100,000 or 200,000 or 500,000. Try and spend half that amount on charity to buy something for those who don't have, and then see what happens to paradise, your paradise. The thing is, it's hard. You know, when the figures become big, becomes more difficult. I end with a small example where we are reminded that, you know, when you promise Allah, Ya Allah, let my business grow. Ya Allah, let my business grow. If my business grows, I will give 5% to you every month out. I'm going to take it out. MashaAllah. So the first month, you know, you had made a loss before. First month, you made $1,000. Wow. So what happened? 5% came out. Shoo. SubhanAllah. 5% of 1,000 out. 50 bucks. MashaAllah, small smacks. Then what happened? The next month you made 10,000. Whew, MashaAllah. So now we added another zero to it. Shoo, we give out 500 bucks. Whoa. It wasn't even pinching. Why? Because 10,000. Alhamdulillah. And after that you kept on making dua. And you kept on giving. And then what happened? 100,000. 5%. Wow. SubhanAllah. Where are we going? MashaAllah, 5,000. Not 500 anymore. And then you make 1,000,000. Whoa. Million. And then you make 10 million. What's 5% of 10 million? Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Then you make 100 million. And then you need to give out 5 million. And people are struggling to make $5. Then we say, Ya Allah, now just give it in batches. You know, maybe I'll give this, this. If we change after we've made a promise to Allah, that's very dangerous, wallahi. And this is why we say, it's Allah testing us to say, I've given you everything you have. It's not from you. Because if you think it's from your brain and your intellect and your wit and your shrewd business tactics, remember that Allah's the one who gave you the brain to think in the first place. So that intellect, where did it come from? You have not gone further enough. Like we've heard that, you know, they say, give the man the rod. Don't just give him a handout. Give him the rod and let him fish. Teach him how to fish. We say that's actually cheating. You're actually making him dependent on you to get a rod. Teach him how to make the rod. Then you're talking business. Then you have liberated a man. But if you keep on giving him the rod, whenever he needs a rod, he's got to come back to you. Why? You taught him how to fish. But we want to teach the man how to make the rod without us. So now he doesn't even need to return. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remember one thing. If you think you're sharp and whatever you got, you know, I did this, I did that. Subhanallah. Now for the sisters, I can give you one example that's come to my mind now. You know, we have these ingredients, typical biryani ingredient, right? So they write it down, they write the method down, everything down, the ingredients, which shop you got it from, what you got, how you got, everything. But believe me, you will make it and someone else will make it. Exactly the same thing, but it will taste totally different. Why? The sisters will tell you, it's the hand. Have you heard it? It's the hand. Allahu Akbar. Wallahi. You can have biscuits, you can have croissants, whatever it is, they will tell you it's the hand. So even though everything was the same, Allah is showing you that, hang on, we have a role to play. It's not just you and your brain and your mind. We've given certain people a little bit more than others. Some people have barakah, some people don't. Some people might have it this way, that way. But I always put it bottom line. You know, we like to acknowledge all the women cook well, mashallah. Even those who burn the food, beautiful. You know, they call it smoked food, mashallah. Beautiful, lovely. We don't like to speak bad about the mistakes that people have made. So what I normally say is, you know, it's just that whatever someone else has made tastes good because you didn't make it, that's all. So you could have cooked beautifully. People would go berserk for your cooking. But the minute you taste the same dish made by someone else, you say, wow, this thing tastes really nice. Not realizing sometimes it's just your goodness that makes you think that way because you're tired of making the same thing all the time or whatever else it may be. We're just looking for an excuse for you. So getting back to the point we're raising, it's Allah who gave you with the root, and primarily He gave you the life. Never ever let a day come when you just say to yourself, that was me, I did it. No, always say it's the help of Allah. Allah gave us, Allah helped me. MashaAllah, say Alhamdulillah. That's what we are taught as Muslimin. Say all praises due to Allah. Say this is whatever Allah has willed. SubhanAllah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. We've had a beautiful lesson this morning and we've got beautiful weather. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those who can spend the rest of the few days we have in this dunya within His obedience in a way that we can be remembered with goodness by those whom we are going to leave behind, and at the same time, will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us straight through to Jannah without reckoning. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.